long shot for a big score? You need Silly Underdog Picks.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
It may be a long shot, but it's all you've got. It's time to pick your dark horse.
Not your nose.
This is Silly Underdog Picks.
Brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
Silly Underdog Picks. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Underdog. There's no need to fear. Underdog is here. Underdog is here.
It is Silly Underdog Pick time here on this rainy, rainy November Thursday on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Some of our contestants are doing some really cool stuff, and they will join us in just a bit. And when I say really, really cool stuff, our station is a part of... Well, we've done this. I don't know how many years we've done this.
Yeah, the Kaboom Build.
The Kaboom Project, Kaboom Build. Predators Foundation is a part of this. And what they do is a nonprofit that tries to make sure that every kid in our community has, play space.
Yeah.
So they're building some playgrounds for them. And obviously today is
at
not.
Kip Antioch, College Prep Elementary, they built the playground. And I know... You know, a lot of people from our staff. Nick is out there. Derek's out there.
A lot of people out there.
Gina from promotions just got back to the station, and like everyone is drenched. And so, you know, kudos to everyone. And all kidding aside, I mean, we're obviously here, but I did it last year.
Yeah.
And it's cool. It's rewarding. I know Ryan's fiance is actually at the school that we built the playground for last year. And so it's cool to kind of get updates on them enjoying all of that.
Yeah.
So. It's very neat.
So, as you just heard, that D-Mace and Nick will join us in the second segment for our picks because they are indeed out there doing some good stuff with Kaboom and our radio station, the Predators Foundation, building some playgrounds on this wet and cold day. We say hello to Forever Titan Chris Sanders, who's always upbeat, always ready for the call. Of course, he is also the leader in the clubhouse, so it's a little bit easier to get up for this segment.
How you guys doing? You guys are doing good. Hey, Butch.
Yeah, we're good.
We're fine.
Hey, buddy.
You know what? Hey, before we start, can I talk to Darren real quick, just man to man?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, here we go. You're good at math, right?
Kind of.
Okay, zero plus zero is what?
Yeah, I can figure that one out. Okay.
Okay, let's even go beyond that. You're a good speller, right?
Kinda.
Okay, what's the letter O in the word fur? What's that mean?
I'm just going to let you. You know I can't say anything, so this is good for you. You could just have your way because I can't do anything.
It's O for you. Have 0 points.
But did you have any sympathy at all for me this past week?
Absolutely none.
Do you even remember my pick? Do you even know why I'm asking you that?
It was Notre Dame.
It was, Virginia Tech.
I know, but it was the Notre Dame game, and
yes.
I was looking at it when everyone. I was like, "Oh my gosh!" When I saw 21-20, man, I did a great dance in my hallway.
Oh, so you actually danced?
Yeah, I can dance.
So you were actually rooting against me with a 50-point lead on me.
Guaranteed.
You were actually rooting against me.
Guaranteed, 100%.
Wow, this could change our friendship forever. It really could.
Hey,
I did not expect you to be like that. I really didn't.
And I am serious. Serious. When Notre Dame scored at the last minute, you couldn't believe how loud I yelled because I was that excited.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have a 0 points.
That was a 17 and a half pointer too that game.
And you got
zero. I know.
Chris, let me ask you this. I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Joe Dirt, but there's a line in there that says, "Is this where you want to be when Jesus comes back, making fun of poor little old Darren and Chase?"
Nicely done.
Oh, you don't have no points either, do you?
I don't. No.
Okay, let's do this. Let's do this over again. Are you good at math?
Not really. That's why I've been broadcasting.
No, man, hey, as long as you give it your all, that's all that matters.
I'm going
to be nice.
Thanks, Coach.
I give my all for underdogs today.
Thanks, Coach.
You're welcome.
In all seriousness, before we review, we were talking about it on Monday on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I got a chance to take in a lot of – honestly, it's a credit to the game because I just couldn't turn away. I really enjoyed the Memphis-SMU game. That was the ABC Saturday night game. And, of course, I saw CJ with a couple good returns in that game. But Memphis got the win. Now, it got hairy. They got up three scores, and I thought it was over in the fourth quarter. And Smoo comes storming back and cut it within a touchdown. But I'll tell you what, that was a fun game on Saturday.
Man, just the atmosphere. You know, just to kind of give you an idea, when we, the Tennessee Titans, played there, it was like a ghost town. I mean, it was nobody there. But when I went to the game to say SMU and Memphis play, it was a whole different atmosphere. People were excited. There were thousands of people walking around. I mean, people cheering. It was an unbelievable sight. So to be in there to watch my son play that game and at the Liberty Bowl, I'm telling you, it was absolutely phenomenal.
So you were there. So you got to take it
there. I was there. I mean, there was not a seat available. I mean, just imagine, when's the last time the Liberty Bowl has ever been to full capacity? I mean, it was incredible.
Long time ago. And by the way, you actually did have people. It wasn't always a ghost town. When you played the Steelers, there were people there.
Oh, yeah, that was all Steelers fans, though. They were booing us, and that's our home team. I mean, what are we doing here?
I know. I remember that game well.
It was a home team. It was supposed to be our home game, and it was, what, 80-20? Steelers fans, and they're booing us. And I'm like, wait, isn't this our home field? They was like, no.
Yeah, so. But that was – look, it was a really good game. I'm surprised you weren't the guest picker for game day. I don't know. I mean, Jerry the Keen Lawler, I thought you were bigger profile than Jerry the Keen Lawler. I guess not.
Nah, that's just like, Chris, get off the stage. That's what they would have said.
Security! Security!
Security! Well, I'm CJ's dad, so what? Get out of here. I mean, that's what they would do.
All right, let's have, of course, Willie is in Denver.
That's where I'm from.
That's right, yeah. The Preds and the Avs tonight. Ryan, who is the deputy, is out on the playground right now with Kaboom and our station and the Preds Foundation building a nice playground, a school here in Antioch.
Cool,
and so that leaves Max Herz.
Come on, Big Dog.
With the review. Max, I turn things over to you.
Let's do it. No intro song needed. It was a rough week for the underdog panel last week. Darren and Chase tied for first if you look just at the weekly score. Started off with Chris Sanders, who came in leading the competition with 50 points. For some reason, he picked UMass against Liberty. 23.5 points on the line. And Hugh Freeze's squad got it done, 63-21. So no points for Chris, who remains in first. 50 points four correct picks so far.
But hold on. Let's not go anywhere with this now. I think I remember when you made that pick. Like, now you've just said, you know what, I don't care. Like, I'm in the lead, and I'm just going to make dumb picks just to show you guys how much I'm in the lead.
But wait until you hear this pick this week.
And you actually sold it like you believed in that pick, and I told you how big of a dud that pick was.
But I really did believe it. But what? When I saw it was 28-0 in the first 32 seconds, then I was like, okay, this game's over.
In fact, I think my exact words were, Chris, I love you, but that's worse than your FAU pick at the beginning of the year. I believe those were my words.
Appreciate you. Thanks.
Which, that was also 28-0 before you could blink an eye.
Yeah. But wait until you hear this pick. This pick this week is going to blow your mind, and I'm going to get a ton of points.
Okay.
I have a hunch. I have a hunch of what he's going to
do. Okay.
And by the way, I should also say this. Kelly Holcomb is, I guess, breaking down film, so he will join us shortly as well.
I guess we have excused absences this week.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
We will be full for the second segment, though.
That's good.
With the exception of Willie.
Okay.
So Chris, out of every college in America, picked UMass. Didn't work out. Darren, out of every other college in America, came as close as anybody did this week. Virginia Tech, we've already talked about it, 17.5 point dog against Notre Dame. That would have been quite a win for Darren, and it would have vaulted him past D-Mace if it had hit.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah. D-Mace has 14 points from 3 wins. So Darren was close. A valiant effort from the Hokies, but no sale. Third up, Nick Kale picked Florida in the neutral site game. 6.5 point underdogs against Georgia. Vegas knew what they were doing. Georgia won that game 24-17, so no points for Nick. But he was close in a light week. D-Mace took Vanderbilt. They did not win as 15-point underdogs against South Carolina. Lost that one 24-7. So D-Mace remains in fourth out of six with 14 points. Nick, by the way, is third with 21 points behind Chris and Kelly. Kelly, again, watching film right now as Riverdale prepares to go on the road to take on Mount Juliet in the first round of the Tennessee High School football playoffs this week. Kelly has 30 points on the season. He actually has more correct picks than Chris, but fewer overall points by 20.
Woo!
He had Georgia Tech plus 7.5. They lost against Pitt 20-10, so no points for Kelly. And then Chase had the final pick, went into the Sanders family, picked Southern Methodist. They were 6-point dogs, and they lost by 6 against Memphis, 54-48.
Good try.
Yeah. So no points for anybody last week. Is that the first time all season?
I think so. Yeah. I think that's right.
Well, I wish I had better news for you guys. But the online pickers had a tough week as well. Not a lot of underdogs won. Todd in Brentwood was our winner. There were actually 5 online contestants who had 13 total points. That was the best.
Wow.
They all picked 3 games.
Wow.
I assume they all picked the same game. I don't know which game it was, though. The tiebreaker is score of the Georgia-Florida game, and Todd had Georgia 21-17. He was off by 3, which was the closest tiebreaker pick. So Todd from Brentwood wins. The next 3 all picked Georgia 24-21, so they were 4 points off. So that's how close the tiebreaker was. But congrats to Todd from Brentwood. Music City Bowl tickets was his prize?
Yep.
So he won tickets to the Music City Bowl?
From here on out, all the weekly winners are going to get Music City Bowl tickets.
All right. Very cool. The most popular online picked games, Northwestern at Indiana was picked by 149 people, which was 20% of you out there. That was not close. Northwestern lost 34-3. That was actually the second most popular behind Vandy at South Carolina, which, as I said earlier, did not work out. Army at Air Force also drew 20% of the attention. USC as an underdog against Oregon, 16%. Kansas versus Kansas State, 16%. Those were all losses. So, tough week for everybody. I think we're ready to put it past us.
Okay. Yeah. When we come back, we will indeed put last week behind us, and we will make our picks. Have you revealed the order?
Yeah, who has the first pick?
It's not a secret, is it?
No, it's not a secret.
Okay. I was going to say, if it is a secret, maybe I did the
wrong
order.
I think I have the first pick.
Darren,
correct?
Nick, D-Mace, Kelly, Chase, Chris.
Okay. Mm.
Okay.
We will make our silly underdog selections on the other side of Darren, Donnick, and Chase. ESPN 102.5, The Game. All right, it is time. It's time to make our picks. As we load up the phone lines and get all of our contestants ready to rock and roll. Max, you are filling in today with Willie the Commissioner out in Denver. Ryan, the deputy out on a playground building in the rain.
Yeah.
Max.
I wonder if he's singing in the rain.
The floor is yours. I don't know. Not sure.
Let's make some picks.
All right, let's do this.
Darren McFarland is first up. He was oh so close last week with Virginia Tech. Sitting at 0-10, I almost want to give him a loser point for that one. Can we say 0-9-1?
No, because actually there's a separate competition between Chase.
Yeah, we're battling.
Oh, okay.
Okay,
we're in the buyout battle.
Well,
our team's going to get bought out.
We're kind of...
or relocated.
Well, yeah. What we're afraid of is if there is a new rule implemented like over in Europe with their soccer leagues, that we will get shipped to another silly
underdog
contest.
You'll get relegated.
Yeah, the guy who finishes last may get shipped to another contest. So there is that going on.
Now, hold on a second.
Here goes Darren.
Indian fever. It starts from the very first inning.
Not really.
Indian fever.
Not this year.
Each game is a brand new beginning.
Yeah, kind of the same.
It's the hits, the homers, the double plays.
No.
It's how you feel when we win.
None of that.
Don't know what that sounds like.
Indian fever.
Be a believer.
The Cleveland Indians.
Or in Oregon State, the Beavers. Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, why not? I think Oregon State, although it's kind of weird, they had all their success on the road. They're home Friday night. It's a little Pac-12 mania on FS1. So if you're looking for something late Friday night, like after, Kelly, you guys win your playoff team, check it out. Oregon State beating the Huskies.
Yeah, I'm out on that one, Hoss.
Oh, okay. I'll let you know if it works in my favor.
Well, I'm sure you will. I'm sure you will. I mean, I'm sure you'll let me know. But that would be, I hate to get like Chris, but that would be your first victory. So, hey, call me whenever, dude.
It would be your first text, right, is basically what you're saying from me. Actually, no. My first text was I was at Akron UAB, and Akron marched right down the field and scored, missed the extra point. I was like, 6-0, 2 minutes in. I knew this was a winner. And that was the last time you heard from me. This season.
I mean, yeah, that was the highlight of your year so far.
Yeah, it really was. Sadly, sad but true. So give me Oregon State, Max.
Oregon State
is a 10-point dog at home.
I've got 9.5.
Yeah, we're going with CBS.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do CBS.
10 points. I guess I'm not the third string commissioner then.
No. Well, we haven't had any consistency with the paper, okay. so we know CBS.
So we're saying 10.
Yep. 10 points is what's on CBS. I can help you with that. With everybody else's picks, just to make sure we're in line.
All right. Hold on
yeah,
one
Kelly,
second.
Kelly, we're building playgrounds. We're out in Colorado. I mean, we're all over the place today.
Yeah, I see. I mean, is this show, are we going to be able to keep Chili Underdogs going? I mean, we have nobody participate anymore, so what's the deal?
Right. Yeah, working on it.
It's a great question, Kelly. We don't have an answer right now. We're still working on that.
Like the Titans offense. I was going to say,
let me give you a Mike Vrabel answer.
It all starts at the top, and the guy wants to jet set everywhere with the Predators. You know, I mean, what's more important, the Predators or Silly Underdog?
Salary. I don't know.
More fuel for Kelly, yeah. Directed toward the commissioner. By the way, in all seriousness, while we have just a second, who do you have Friday?
We have the Mount Juliet.
Mm. The Bears, huh?
The Bears, baby. The Mount Juliet Bears.
Okay. Well, best of luck with that. All right. Who's up next, Max?
We are ready for our second picker from the playground build. It is Nick Kale with 21 points in third place in the competition.
Nick, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
We go to a playground near you. Nick Kale, everybody. Morning Drive.
D-Mac, what's happening, buddy? How you doing?
We've already fine. I'm dry, and we've already talked about my pick that was ever so close.
Yeah, I know. I felt for you last week, man. Irish eyes were not smiling on you, which is why I came back with that theme music.
Yeah, we were trying to figure out yesterday on the show if you actually meant it or not, and we actually gave you the benefit of the doubt. We actually believe you meant it. Other people on this show or this contest, we don't believe they mean the stuff that they say. But I actually believe you.
I don't want to see you and Chase go scoreless this year. I mean, we know Chris Sanders is going to win it, but I want to see some of the guys that I truly, genuinely love have some success.
It's very sweet of you.
Yes. So who went first? What team's off the board?
I just took Oregon State and 10 points at home against Washington.
All right. I'm going to prove to you that I am not a Bama homer. I am going to take LSU.
Whoa.
Whoa.
How about that?
This is big. LSU, 6.5.
So you really believe they can win that game?
Well, I think they have a shot. But I'm looking at the board this week, and there's just no ridiculous picks out there worth taking, unlike Chris Sanders, who gets advice from his girlfriend. So I said, what the heck? Let's ride with Joe Burrow.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with you. I didn't think it was a particularly good board this week either. So, okay. Hey, it's got a chance. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, it's a good pick.
I'm going to get back to mulching before I get yelled at by management.
All right. Go dry off. And yeah, good luck. Thank you for doing something good today.
Barry Porth, do that.
Good and productive. Okay, who's up next, Max?
What is our official line on LSU, please, Darren?
6.5.
6.5. All right. We will move on to Derek Mason, who is 3-7 with 14 points on the year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. You know what? Darren, you say this is not a good board, but you know what? I think otherwise. I think this is a great board.
Really?
Oh, yeah. If you don't think that, you're not going to win. You know? So you might as well think it's a great board.
Well, I have lost some confidence this season.
I have to get a victory, you know? So, after the big loss last week, I think SMU's done. I'm taking East Carolina.
Whoa.
I was wondering if somebody would bite on that.
By the way, East Carolina had Cincinnati dead to rights last week and choked it away.
Mm-hmm. I think that took a lot out of them. That SMU game, I think it took me that Memphis game, I think it took a lot out of them. So I'm going with East Carolina.
So you heard my footsteps because Max unveiled that I had no idea. If I would have pulled off Virginia Tech last year, I would be ahead of you in the standings.
You have zero.
Yeah, you would have, but you didn't. If it was the fifth, we'd all be drunk. You know? So I think we're all sober on this station right now.
All right, fine. Okay, I got no comeback. 21.5, Max, is what we're going with. 21.5.
For the Pirates of East Carolina against SMU for D-Mace. I like the pick. Next up is Kelly Holcomb, who is in second place with 30 points. Only man in the competition with more wins than losses this season. He's 6-4, but still 20 points behind Chris in the spread. Country roads, take me home to the
place I belong. West Virginia sucks. Our football team's not very good. Wait till next year. They'll be better.
They went from good to suck.
Hey, where's Sanders at? Is he here today?
Yeah, he's here. Yeah.
He did a lot of his talking in the first segment.
Yeah, he got all the shots out.
Hey, bud.
Yeah.
I mean, good gracious. I mean, I didn't know where you were, dude. I was getting worried about you because you're always running that mouth.
Kelly, you played in the league a long time. You know wide receivers. They're all mouthy.
I know, and they all want the ball. None of them, well, I can't say that. Well, you have to have that, but, you know, hey. You know how those guys are, prima donnas, dude. They want the ball all the time, even though they got three guys on them. They want the ball. Okay, so I'm not going to buy into Nick Kale saying that this is a runaway with Chris, that he's going to win this thing. So, I'm still going to hold out hope here. I'm going to say that I'm going to say that the Louisville Cardinals beat the Miami Hurricanes.
I definitely looked at that. That's 6.5, Max.
Got to just chip away at that, because when Sanders picks Liberty and things like that, or what? Who UMass, was it UMass?
Yeah, UMass. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, we still got a shot.
Yeah, I looked at it and saw the line, and then I moved on. I liked that game, but I saw 6.5. I was like, yeah, sorry. Got to get something bigger.
Chip away. Just got to get a couple of chip aways and let him keep picking UMass, things like that. We'll be okay.
So it's Miami of Florida, Max, officially, or Louisville, officially a 6.5. They're getting 6.5 points.
All right. That is Kelly's pick. Our fifth pick of the day goes to Chase, who had SMU last week and is still looking to get on the board. Because long day.
All right.
If you can see how happy, guys, he gets when he hears that.
I love that song. Luke Combs. Shout out to Luke Combs.
And then after his game, if you could see how unhappy he is every week.
So I keep coming back to a game for some reason. It's calling to me. And Derek, I'm sorry that I have to do this.
Oh, Michigan State, Illinois, go ahead, take it.
I'm taking Illinois plus 14.5.
You're taking Santa Claus?
Black snowman.
Wow.
You're taking the black snowman. Man, I like that, man.
Santa Smith.
There are black snowmans in the world, man. Yes.
14.5. Yep. The Fighting Illini. By the way, didn't their basketball team lose last night? Didn't Illinois lose?
They almost lost to Nicholls State.
Okay.
I think they came back.
Wow.
I saw them behind the
whole
game.
They won in overtime.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
All right. So Chase is going with the Fighting Illini against Michigan State, 14.5 point underdogs. Our last pick of the day. He said he was going to shock us. Here's Chris Sanders.
Shocking the world, baby.
How's that new music
Man,
worked out?
I love that song. All right. Here's my pick. This one's going to shock the world. It is New Mexico over Air Force.
Hold on. We'll have to scroll. this one's not on anybody's board.
Exactly. New Mexico over Air Force.
Is this your pick or your girlfriend's pick?
When I picked it, she was like, you just make the decision, baby. She was like, what are we doing? But, hey.
Hey, wait a minute.
Oh, wow. Hey,
Chris.
Hold on. That game has been canceled.
Oh, no. Are you serious? No way.
We should have given it to
you. That game has been canceled.
You gotta be kidding me. Okay.
No, there's a line. New Mexico's getting 21.5 for a canceled game.
So I win.
No, you don't win. That's not how that works.
My goodness.
So I gotta pick another. Do I gotta pick another one then? Dang.
Yeah.
No, he gets no more chances.
No, man, I gotta pick it. I'll pick another one then. That ain't fair, dangummit.
Hey.
Okay.
You should take Ohio against Miami, Ohio.
That'd be a negative. I'm going with UTEP over Charlotte. 11 points.
Golly, can you just get a game that's going to get played? UTEP and Charlotte. Let's make sure that game hasn't been canceled. Do you know why the other game was canceled? It says lack of interest. That's why that game was canceled.
Okay, UTEP is plus 13.
Okay, good deal.
Wow. Was it Kelly that tried to pick the game that had already started?
Yeah, that was years ago. That was one of the better moments.
That was great.
It was hilarious.
I can't believe that happened, man. Unbelievable.
That's funny.
Don't be haters. And I was up, too. I was up in that game.
Kelly, there's been a lot of memorable moments over the years, but picking a canceled game may just vault it to the top.
I agree. Al Jazeera didn't even want to broadcast that.
Only in America.
How bad it was.
Oh, God.
All right, Max, give us the review.
That lived up to the billing and then some, Chris. Thank you so much for blessing us with that. You can pick it again in 2 weeks, by the way. It'll be played on November 23rd.
There you go.
All right, so Darren started us off this week after coming so close last week. He goes out to the Pacific Northwest to take Oregon State. The Beavers are 10-point underdogs against the Washington Huskies. Nick then clocked in, going with the game of the week. He is picking LSU and Coach O to beat Bama. 6.5-point underdogs at Bryant-Denny. We've all been told to get there 3 hours early, right, guys? Be there early.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Mason had the third pick. He picked East Carolina, the Pirates, against SMU. 21.5-point underdogs. So an opportunity for some big points for D-Mace, looking to separate himself from Chase and Darren and get back into the upper echelon of the competition. Kelly Holcomb takes Louisville, 6.5-point ACC underdogs against Miami. Chase goes to the Big Ten. Illinois, 14.5-point underdogs against the Michigan State Spartans. And Chris, on his second swing, takes the UTEP Miners in Conference USA action against Will Healy and the Charlotte 49ers. UTEP, an 11-point dog there. New Mexico and Air Force, we'll see you on the 23rd.
Yes, sir.
Silly Underdog Picks every week brought to you by Volunteer Hose and Gasket. Kelly, good luck on Friday. Chris, just good luck with your second game.
Appreciate it.
And we'll talk to you guys next week.
All right, guys. Have a good week.
All right, that was priceless.
That was funny.
That was the first.
That could be an all-time underdog moment because you and I realized it at the same time.
Yeah. Remember, you out there, the listener, get three picks every week. We do appreciate the numbers. Keep jumping in there. There's weekly winners, and the weekly winners from here on out will receive tickets to the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl at Nissan Stadium on December 30th. So play along with us at ESPN, the game.
At thegamenashville.com. There you go.
Thegamenashville.com. I was trying to put out the mobile app. You can play along on there as well. Okay?
Yes.
ESPN, the Game Nashville mobile app. That was good. I got frazzled with the canceled game.
That was so funny.
Too good. And like I said, we appreciate Volunteer Hose and Gasket, as always, for being a part of it. Jimmy Himes has put out there what color pants Tennessee will wear against Kentucky. You might want to hear this. We'll have more of Darren, Donick, and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5, The Game. Don't forget Elliot Friedman coming up at 1 o'clock, his weekly chat with us every Thursday at 1, and you know what that means. Elliot Friedman's on with us. We'll do a good hockey interview with him. Something will come out of that interview that we're going to ask you about the following segment, which means you're going to have to listen to the interview, and then you'll have a chance to win Predators tickets to an upcoming home game. And I don't know if we've established what this week's home game is.
It is the next home game.
Oh, against the Blackhawks. Great. Mm-hmm. Okay. Saturday, November 16th at 7 o'clock, Bridgestone Arena.
Good.
Preds Blackhawks. So that's what's on the line for this week. After you hear NHL insider Elliot Friedman on with us, that's presented each week by Carries Our Remax Elite. We'll ask you a question, and then the next segment we will ask you to call in and give the correct answer, and whoever does that will win a pair of tickets courtesy of New Amsterdam Vodka to the Predators Blackhawks on Saturday, November 16th.
Be a fun game. Good
I'll
price.
Actually,
really
I'll
cool.
I'll actually be out of town
so
that
will
weekend,
I.
And you will too.
I will.
We'll be close to
I
each
will.
Other. You'll just be at Neyland Stadium at Garth Brooks.
Yeah.
And I'll be in the Smoky Mountains.
I look forward to being able to give a report on Monday about what that whole experience is like.
Because
it's going to be the first time that, I mean, I've been to concerts at Nissan Stadium, but a giant college football stadium like the Vols playing in Neyland Stadium. First time I've been to a concert like that, and it's Garth. So it should be a lot of fun. So I'll hopefully have a good report, and you'll be on sabbatical in the Smokies.
That's right. Speaking of Neyland Stadium, they won't be there on Saturday. They'll actually be in Lexington taking on Kentucky. But Jimmy Himes tweeting out that Tennessee will don the orange pants for the Kentucky game Saturday night.
We've seen in the
He has that sourced per source. Orange pants.
Okay.
Saturday night.
We've seen in the Jeremy Pruitt era that he likes to keep it pretty traditional when it comes to the uniforms. They haven't I don't believe they've worn the smoky gray since he's been there, and it's been pretty much the orange and white, their traditional look with the tops and the bottoms, but the orange pants, that's changing it up a little bit. So there you go.
Be very curious to see how that game plays out Saturday night. Of course, there'll be Alabama and LSU will get all the attention during the afternoon at 2:30. And by the way, there's some NFL news. We had a really good discussion with Keith Bullock and Jonnu Smith and Seren Petro earlier in the show about the Titans Chiefs game. But there is news. We told you, what was it, yesterday or the day before, that A.J. Green was, maybe it was yesterday because we said he wasn't in practice, but he intends on playing against the Ravens on Sunday. Evidently, he has had a setback, and A.J. Green is now not going to suit up and make his debut this season against the Ravens. He will miss another week, or who knows how long he will miss.
Yeah, he told reporters, said he's out, not going to play. So that, I don't know what's going on with that situation. I mean, the Bengals are just not a good team. They're a dumpster fire right now, looking for their first win of the season, and they got to play Baltimore, so I don't see that happening. They're starting Ryan Finley at quarterback, a rookie, after benching Andy Dalton. So things just not going well for them up there in Cincinnati, and their best player, their top receiver, hasn't suited up yet for a game. So it's only getting worse for them.
Indeed it is. They will have maybe the number one pick overall. Who knows?
That's going to be interesting. Tua, you know, I assume it's going to be Tua going there. And the thing that is intriguing about Miami is they have all those draft picks that if they wanted, they could draft Tua, they could draft Jerry Jeudy. I mean, they could put some pieces together right away for that offense with all the draft picks that they have. But, you know, with them beating the Jets, I mean, they got one win now. So who knows how it's going to shake out. They have to play the Bengals at some point. So it's going to be interesting to see how that. I know it's weird talking about the draft already, but we'll see how it shakes out.
Antonio Brown has taken to social media again. I don't know if you've seen this or not. He's posted on Twitter and Instagram.
Oh boy!
And
I know he's meeting with the league supposedly.
Right, he is expected to meet with league officials next week over accusations of sexually assaulting multiple women. So what did Antonio Brown want to say on social media? He said, imagine conforming to a system, giving it 100% to see them treat me like this is unfairly. I'm just reading word for word, okay?
Oh,
like this is unfairly.
Unfair, I think is what he meant. End of sentence.
I know, but it's the way it's written out, unfairly. Unfair. We'll just, if you want me to, it says unfairly. Making money off my sweat and blood.
Beep.
Beep the NFL. I'll never play in that.
Beep.
Beep. They treat black people the worst. Clear my name and go
beep,
beep yourself.
Well, you know what?
Hey, dude, go buy a mirror and look in it, okay? That's who you need to be mad at.
He's probably going to get his wish. He'll never play in the league again.
Oh, he's right, yeah. Especially when he's going to go meet with the league next week.
Yeah, no, he's done.
Yeah,
he's done.
Yeah. Go buy a mirror for Christmas.
Because here's the thing, and it's two very, very different circumstances, but, you know, Colin Kaepernick took a stance on a social issue, and he can't get a job. So you think Antonio Brown, with everything that's he's accused of, he's going to get another chance, and then he goes and he says that? No way. I wouldn't want him on my team.
And just everything that played out with the Raiders.
Yeah.
Everything. I mean, just everything. Pittsburgh, Oakland. I mean, get a mirror, dude.
Like,
you got
nobody
to blame but yourself.
I think Kaepernick deserved another chance, but Antonio Brown, nah. See ya. Good luck. Enjoy playing Madden. Because that's all the football you're going to be playing.
Yeah, and you just – what, he gave away about 30 mil?
Yep.
Is that about right?
Yeah, and I'm – you know, I think there's – he's filed a ton of grievances and all of that, but it's not going to matter.
Yeah, trying to blame everybody else. Look in the mirror, dude.
Those guys don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I think they're, you know, invincible.
He is one that clearly got caught up in – his success.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Sure. And the thing is, with a lot of these players in any sport, when you come from a background where you don't have that and you get up to a certain point and you work at it and finally get rewarded, you don't know how people are going to handle that. Some people handle the success and they're the same person that they've always been, and some people let it go to their head and become Antonio Brown. Just... sometimes it works out that way.
You never know how you're going to react until you walk in those shoes. And everybody, I've always said it, everybody thinks they're going to act correctly. If you had all of a sudden instantly snap your fingers and you've got fame and fortune.
Right.
And everybody would like to believe you handle it the way you're supposed to. But that's not how it works. Because until you've actually done it, some do. Some can pull it off.
Yeah.
Some thrive in
know.
It. And then some absolutely don't.
Yeah.
And they have no idea what to do with fame and know how to handle money and fame and everything that comes with it.
And, or they show their true colors.
Or there's,
you know,
that.
You know, there is some of that where it's like that's just what they've always been, power hungry and just cocky.
Well, there's a lot of people out there, and I understand this, that believe that, look, if you morph into something, that's something that was always there. It's not something you created.
Right.
It's something that was always there, and for whatever reason, your situation, fill in the blank, you got a big promotion at work, or you're now running the office, or whatever it is, right? Pick the workplace, or in this case, an athlete, that what came out was just what's always been there.
Yeah. And now he's alienated himself, Antonio Brown. He's turned pretty much everyone against him. I mean, if I'm on a team and all of a sudden it gets out, let's say that I'll use the Titans because it's the local example, and I'm Corey Davis, AJ Brown, and I hear the Titans are going to work out Antonio Brown, I'm like, dude, why? Like, what? We don't need him in our locker room. We got enough stuff going on. We're trying to win. We don't need that distraction. There are other locker rooms around the league that are thinking that way. And Pittsburgh and Oakland can go, hey, guess what? We can tell you how that's going to turn out.
I wonder how close Seattle got. Like, I wonder how serious it really was.
I don't know. But Pete Carroll comes across as, and look, Belichick signed him. He was there for, what, a week and a half, 2 weeks before all this came out, and then they cut him.
He played a game.
And Belichick is a no-nonsense guy, and you saw it. Once something came out, it's like, we're done. You're out. Pete Carroll comes across as the same type. So I don't know. I don't know how close they got. I mean, it just – but that kind of player, I don't want him anywhere near my team. Just those guys don't need him.
Instead, they went and signed Josh Gordon. So Josh Gordon gets his third crack at the NFL. So we'll see if he can get things going. I mean, I think for the most part, things were pretty calm in New England for the most part. Yeah. I mean,
they were
still rocky because he didn't finish last year.
And then he got hurt.
Got hurt this year, and so I just think they just decided, you know what, it's just time to move on.
There are some stories that just aren't going to have a good ending necessarily. And look, he's still in the league, so I'll give him that he's, you know, now he's with Seattle, so who knows how that's going to turn out. But you just see signs of, and the biggest thing for me is I want Josh Gordon to figure out his personal life to get better. And so that's beyond football. But it's like sometimes it just doesn't work out. I mean, he may just not live his NFL dream because of all the other stuff. But like you said, he's been given a chance in Seattle, so he's playing with who I believe is the best quarterback in the league right now, and Russell Wilson. I find myself stopping to watch the Seahawks every time they're on. And so maybe he can be another weapon for them.
It's pretty amazing the MVP candidates that the Titans have had to go up against. And Mahomes is a candidate. McCaffrey is a candidate, which was last week. I guess so 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
MVP candidates. That's what type of season they're having. And it was interesting because Keith Bullock earlier today with us said that he believes the Titans are going to win this game.
And yeah.
We've kind of joked.
He did. He flat out said that.
This is the type of game that, you know, the minute you think they're – I guess what I keep coming back as we keep talking about it all week and you examine it a little bit deeper and you look at – can you run on Kansas City? Yeah. Will they run? I suspect they will after last week. They took a lot of heat for two carries in the first half.
You're pretty confident in that, that they're going to learn from their mistakes. I'm still skeptical because – I've watched this now for 9 games and then even back to last year, and I still see a lot of the same mistakes or new mistakes get made, and whether it's coaching decisions by Vrabel or an offensive game plan. So while I want to agree with you, there's just I just don't know if I trust them to do the right thing. I don't know if I trust them to look at the stats and look at film of Kansas City and go, you know what, we should run Derek more this week. I can tell them that. You can tell them that. But do they actually believe that, or are they so hell-bent on trying to be a passing offense?
I believe they will. I do. I believe we'll see the most we've seen of Derrick Henry this season.
Well, I hope you're right, because that's what they need to do. Because if I'm Derrick Henry behind the scenes, I'm getting frustrated because they're not using him correctly. And maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I don't know, but I just... You know what he is. You know how you're supposed to use him, so use him. That's what they need to do.
So the most carries, 27. He had 27 carries against the Falcons. I thought the game against the Chargers, I wanted to make sure, was the most carries he's had this season. The game against the Chargers, you know, I don't know how many more times we have to keep saying this. I did this how many times in the offseason?
When you give him the ball more than 20 times?
His most carried games last season all resulted in what?
Wins.
Yeah. So let me give you his most carries this season. The Falcons game, 27 carries. What'd they do against the Falcons?
Win.
Next, the Chargers, 22 carries.
Win.
Next, the Browns, 19 carries.
Win.
Actually, the Bills was 20 carries. I'm sorry, I left the Bills out. It was 20 carries.
Loss.
There was your loss.
You can blame the kicker.
Yeah. But once again, it's the same theme. I mean, then the next game would be the Buccaneers,
win.
Which surprised us, right? Because
yeah.
Tampa came in.
And he did
very,
well.
Very, very stingy.
He even had negative plays. I think he had 5 negative plays and still
75 yards. Yeah. The most anybody's run on Tampa all year.
Yeah.
And it resulted in what again?
Win.
A win. I mean, yeah. I don't know what they need to see.
I don't know.
That every time you give Derrick Henry a bulk of carries, where it's like his the most he gets in a game, in a season, and they result for the most part, other than the Buffalo game, in a win. What more do you need to see? I gave you the top 4 or 5 games last year. They were all wins, and I just pointed out all of his high totals this year, and other than the Buffalo game, they were all wins. What more do you need to see? And, oh, by the way, Kansas City is terrible against the run. Terrible.
Yeah. And it also opens up play action. It opens up more for the passing game when Kansas City is constantly having to play 8 in the box against a running back like Derrick Henry. So I don't get it either. I don't know why Arthur Smith and Mike Vrabel don't go back to that, but we'll see.
His low carry games, the Colts, the Jags, the Broncos, the Panthers.
Losses. All losses.
Okay. I'm just saying. Come back with Elliot Friedman to kick off the 4th and final hour. That is next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.